All right, gang, a new civilizational world order continues to take shape. Russian President Vladimir Putin is in China this week on an official visit with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The two world leaders pledged to deepen their strategic partnership, which they have already declared just months back as limitless. Putin, whose delegation includes top defense and security officials, was welcomed by Xi to Beijing's Great Hall of the People earlier with the full military pageantry, heralding the start of the Russian president's two-day official state visit. CNN is reporting that a sweeping joint statement released by the two leaders laid out their country's realignment on a host of issues, including energy, trade, security, geopolitics, obviously with special references to Ukraine, Taiwan, and what's happening today in the Middle East, all the various flashpoints on the globe. It was a visit that was extremely significant in that this was President Putin's first overseas official visit after being inaugurated for his new term as Russia's president. So the symbolism here, unmistakably, is that China is now officially Russia's number one ally. It is Henry Kissinger's worst nightmare come true. Remember, detente was centered on splitting apart China from Russia. That was Kissinger's centerpiece of his geopolitical strategy. You have to split apart China and Russia. And he was very successful in doing that. And so for decades, China was seen as the good guy here in the United States. We were able to largely isolate Soviet Russia by bringing China into the trade fold via Deng and his policy of managed capitalism, and China became the major trade partner of the United States. It really, and that was more or less the de facto state of affairs until Trump in 2016, where he foregrounded how much China was actually taking advantage of the United States, surpassing the United States, and we need to start getting tough with China. And ever since then, ironically, again, Trump has helped to reshape world order in a very interesting way. Ever since then, China has been seen increasingly as an adversary. But what really drove Russia and China together, of course, was the bumbling Biden administration's weaponization of the U.S.-led globalized financial system. Immediately after the United States and the EU sanctioned the central bank of the Russian Federation and weaponized the economic system of the liberal international order against Russia shortly after its invasion of Ukraine, Russia responded by requiring all nations sanctioning them to pay for Russian exports, particularly fuel and fertilizer, in rubles. And those Russian exports only ended up going through the roof. And this is largely because Russia turned to the East, particularly in non-sanctioned nations like China and India, two other rising civilization states. Russia turned to them to sell their commodities. And demand for Russian oil just skyrocketed, which isn't surprising given that India and China together comprise 40% of the world's population. The high prices of commodities further contributed to the strength of the ruble, all the while oil and gas trade hit an all-time high for Russia. Moreover, when Russia was punished by SWIFT, which is the worldwide financial transaction system that had been weaponized against Russia. SWIFT is basically, it's the cardiovascular system of globalization, right? Well, Russia said, no problem. They totally weaned themselves off from SWIFT when SWIFT basically, it was an international debanking of Russia. So Russia began using China's alternative financial transaction platform, which is called KIPS. And KIPS is growing even bigger than SWIFT. Likewise, when Visa and MasterCard sanctioned Russia, Russians turned to their own credit card system, known as the Ruski Mir, used all over the Eurasian world. And they also turned to China's Visa and MasterCard substitute, which is called UnionPay. And UnionPay is even bigger than Visa and MasterCard. So at the end of the day, today, Russia is in many respects stronger, more economically prosperous and vibrant than we are in the United States, even when our government has been telling us the opposite. That's why so much of the rest of the world is moving closer and closer, sorry, whether you like it or not, to Russia, just like we predicted 2 years ago. Just like we predicted, the Russian invasion of Ukraine was the great decoupling of the East from the globalist West. That's what it was. It has nothing to effing do with democracy. Nothing, obviously. It's got nothing to do with democracy. It's got nothing to do with Putin trying to reconstruct the Soviet Union. It has everything to do with the rising multipolar world, where now the world is moving eastward, farther and farther away from us and our aristocratic lunatics that run our asylums that used to be respectable institutions. And so now what you've got, because of these aristocratic lunatics running things in the West, is you now have the number one natural resources exporter in the world by far, Russia, teaming up with the number one, should keep my finger one, teaming up with the number one manufacturer in the world, China. Hey gang, with everything going on right now, it's hard to say what could happen or what will happen. And to make matters even worse, we usually don't find out until it's too late. But when it comes to your money, you should understand what's at stake. That's why I partnered with GoldCo. Now, you guys know I'm a big fan of hedging future risks with the timeless value of gold and silver. And that's why you've got to click on the link below or go to TurleyTalksLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit. Gang, it's an amazing free resource that shows you step-by-step how to get into precious metals tax-free and penalty-free, even if your money's still in a retirement account like an IRA or 401k. And the best part is that you may already qualify to get up to $10,000 in free silver. You've seen the writing on the wall. Click on that link below or go to TurleyTalksLikesGold.com to get your free gold and silver kit right now, because this is about taking back control of your freedom and your privacy. We can't predict the future, but we can certainly prepare for it. So don't wait. Take action now to defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Click on that link below right now.
This is what
gave Kissinger nightmares. China accounts for 30% of the world's manufacturing, by far the largest global share. China is the number one trading partner with the vast majority of nations all throughout the world. A single Chinese shipbuilding port builds more ships in a single one Chinese shipbuilding port builds more ships than the whole of the United States shipping manufacturing ports combined. You have the largest nuclear arsenal in the world, Russia, aligning now with the largest military in the world by far in China. And that was brought to you by the dolts in D.C. and the bullies in Brussels. NATO did that. Bullies in Brussels. I should finish my sentence. NATO did that. In the end, NATO did. The woke morons in NATO did that. And so what we're seeing this week in Beijing really is the rising up of a civilizational world order. I mean, we're seeing nothing. We talk about it all the time in this channel, but what we're seeing happening now in Beijing, I mean, this is huge. We're seeing that really is the centerpiece of this, of all of these great ancient civilizations of the past, right? I always like to say it's like in kaiju-like fashion. They're all rising up, right? Pacific Rim, they're all rising up from the depths below, and they're returning in all of their splendor all over the world. Orthodox Russia, Confucian China, Hindu nationalist India, Shinto Japan, Ottoman Turkey, continental Africanism that's expelling, particularly in the Sahel region, expelling all of the residue, the leftovers from French colonialism, Shiite Persia. And yes, as we're going to find today, even in Europe and the United States, we're seeing a renewed Christian civilizationalism rising up, what scholars refer to as civilizational populism. And this is dramatically changing the world order into a far more nationalist, populist, traditionalist, civilizationalist world that's increasingly replacing a dying, secular, liberal, keeling over globalist order that nevertheless stubbornly persists in and through the institutions that dominate that secular liberal order. So you got the EU, you got the IMF, you got the WTO, you got the silly, laughable legacy media, you got the traditional political parties, you've got, yeah, you got Manhattan DAs, you've got legal systems, you know, brittle, dying infrastructures. But there is a clear sense that these infrastructures and institutions and organizations just no longer have anywhere near the legitimacy and authority they once enjoyed. It's pretty stunning stuff. In a sense, the globalist institutions, really, when all is said and done, they're just basically rotting out from within, and populations are just more and more turning away from them. No one is taking what's happening in New York right now seriously. No one. I mean, literally, no one. No one in the world is taking it seriously. No one here is taking it seriously. Right? The world over which these institutions once ruled, that world order, is shattering. The technical term is re-territorializing. Populations are increasingly returning to nation, culture, custom, and tradition, and reclaiming their regions away from globalist institutions. But in the meantime, and this is so key to understanding, this is so key to staying sane in insane times. In the meantime, in the interim period between the death of the old world order and the rise of a new world order, between the death of globalism and the rise of civilizationalism, we are living in the interim in a very tenuous and turbulent time where nothing makes any sense. It's actually what scholars call post-normality. We're living in post-normal times, which describes this unique interim between the no longer and the not yet. So I actually see our current insanity right now, these left-wing insanities and tyrannies and legal absurdities, as actually part and parcel of a rising conservative civilizational age. So that's, of course, what takes us back full circle to what's happening in Manhattan with the sham trial, obvious sham trial against Trump. These are what are called post-normal times, when nothing makes sense anymore. Anything that we appeal to in the past to make sense of the present fails, because the present represents the collapse of the past, but with a future yet to be realized and restore order. So the insanity that we're seeing today is indeed indicative of the fact that the old liberal globalist order is indeed collapsing, and a new civilizational order is rising, but has yet to fully materialize and restore that order.